I had my children on the floor. I was on my favourite blanket that my grandmother gave me on the floor like a cat.
And I realised in that moment the potential of what our bodies can really do as women.
Like, I could feel his head. I could do my own internal, like, yeah, his head, I could feel it.
I was in tears. I was just in tears and overwhelmed with gratitude.
Hi, and welcome to the Natural Birth Podcast, the podcast that is bringing embodied birth wisdom from women from all over the world sharing their natural birth stories. Don't forget to subscribe and download so that you can always have access to these empowering and positive natural birth stories. Hi, my name is Anna, and I am the Natural Birth Podcast host. I'm a former midwife who left the system, and I'm now the proud founder of Sacred Birth International, a woman-owned company with a mission to revolutionize the birth world and bring focus to the sacred and the natural intelligence of the birth process. We do this by providing world-class education, courses, programs, and coaching to equip women with the knowledge and the tools to have conscious pregnancies, empowering and positive birth experiences, and the most nourishing start possible for themselves and their babies postpartum. We also educate and mentor aspiring birth workers into sacred space holders and physiological birth advocates in the Sacred Birth Worker Mentorship, the Beyond a Doula Training. If you'd like to work with me or take any of our courses, programs, or the mentorship, then head on over to sacredbirthinternational.com to find out more. Yes, you heard that right. I'm now the proud founder of Sacred Birth International. In my new intro, you heard a part of Sacred Birth International's mission statement, and here it is again in its fullness this time. I'm so proud. Sacred Birth International is a woman-owned company with a mission to revolutionize the birth world and bring focus to the sacred and the natural intelligence of the birth process. We do this by providing world-class education, courses, programs, and coaching to equip women with the knowledge and tools to have conscious pregnancies, empowering and positive birth experiences, and the most nourishing start possible for themselves and their babies postpartum. We also educate and mentor aspiring birth workers in becoming sacred space holders and physiological birth advocates in the Sacred Birth Worker Mentorship, the Beyond a Doula Training. We're doing this for the women and their families, for future generations' health and well-being, and for humanity. We believe that peace on earth starts with birth, and that each woman and her child deserves the most sacred and loving support throughout their rite of passage of birth. And this year, I can feel it in my blood and bones. We are going to create great things for mothers and babies and for the birth world. I can already now announce the new start for the next Sacred Birth Worker Mentorship, which will be on the 26th of August this year. There's an early bird prize available now, so head on over and apply already now if you want to join us. It has already started to fill before the new date has even been announced. And as you might have heard me whisper in a previous episode in the beginning of this year, I also have new things brewing, one of which I am ready now to announce to you. The Conscious Conception Program, a 12-week program for women who wish to prepare body, mind, heart, and soul to conceive their spirit baby this year and to become the best mother she can be for her future child. All information about this new program and a hefty early bird prize for this first round and this first round only starting on April the 22nd you can find at sacredbirthinternational.com. Now let's dive into this week's birth story.
Today on the Natural Birth Podcast, we have Sophia. Sophia is a Swedish mama of five who is currently living with her family in France. She is a yoga teacher and homeschooling mama, and today she is sharing all of her five births and her interesting life journey. She birthed her first baby at home as a 23-year-old and then had her second also in Sweden, which happened so fast it was an accidental free birth. She then decided with her husband that they wanted to move to France, where they ended up birthing their three following children, who all ended up more or less being free birthed in their home. But each of them had a journey, and there was some involvement with midwives and medical personnel on their journey. Sophia's stories really show that we birth the way we live and the way we are. In her stories, you'll see that the way her life situation was and also her inner world was reflected in the way she birthed her babies. Curious about Sophia? Find her on Instagram as La Sorcière Beach.
Welcome, Sophia, to the Natural Birth Podcast. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm well. I'm very excited to have you on the podcast. So curious about your life journey. And we've already been chatting for quite some time before hitting record, but we're going to try to go through all of your five birth stories. And what I love about talking to you is that you've birthed babies in different countries. Or at least two different countries. You've birthed in Sweden, you've birthed in France, and you've birthed on Corsica, which also is, you know, part of France, but different places. And I'm very curious about the difference potentially in, you know, birthing in Sweden, in France, living in these different places, being pregnant. So I'm very curious about your stories and also how you decided to have home births, first of all, and then also free births or unassisted births. So let's go back to the beginning, which I think was 18 years ago, your first baby was born.
Exactly. Yeah. 18 and a half years ago. Mm. I think I always wanted children. So when I was maybe 16, 17, I was so sure about that. I wanted a child and that it was going to be pretty soon. Mm. So I met my husband and I got pregnant almost straight away. And we wanted that together. I never thought about not birthing in a hospital. It wasn't my plan from the beginning. I went to this normal, what do you say, mödravård, maternity care.
Yeah, maternity
care. Yeah. And I always choose differently from before. And when I met this midwife, I just had a feeling that this is not going to be it for me. With the Doppler, the blood work and everything felt like going to hospital, even if it was just a midwife. And the second time when I went to her, she said that I should eat some shrimps. And I was a vegan. Oh. So I just felt like, oh, no, no, no. And that was it.
That's an interesting thing to say, to specifically have shrimps. Okay.
I don't know. She just said that. It wasn't to be mean, but I just felt I want to be held by someone who understands me. I called her and I said, I'm going to look for someone else. And she was, she was okay with that, but she asked why. And I said that I just felt like this is not for me and I need someone who understands my needs more. And she recommended me to turn to Hälsans Hus. It's in Stockholm. It's a place where there are more alternative midwives. And I called them straight away. And Diane, who was in charge that time, she answered and she said, you can come next week. And I came there and everything felt very different because there was no like competition about like the belly has to be like this and you have to measure like this. I just felt more relaxed. Mm. And she listened with
the pinard. So that is.
Yeah. Yeah.
The wooden little piece that can listen to a baby's heart.
Exactly. And then later, like maybe a couple of visits later, we started to talk about the birth, of course, where I was going to birth and which hospital, because she could join. And I just felt like it doesn't feel right. So I went to visit BB Stockholm and I came up there. It's supposed to be a little bit more like at home, but I felt it was totally weird for me. So I went back to her and I said that I don't know what to do because I feel so bad about this birth. And she hadn't talked to me about home birth, but she said, I'm doing home birth and I can do that with you if you want. I know it's the first time for you, but you seem very open and you seem like you really don't want to be in a hospital, because I had some weird experiences before with hospitals. So I think that was the beginning of feeling those feelings when I came into a hospital building. Not something that really hurt, but it wasn't a good experience. We started to plan that, and my husband was totally on. He didn't even question it because he said that this is like normal for Sophia to birth at home. It feels really right. And afterwards, it's really amazing to have a person who can support you in that situation, because I was so unsure because I had no idea. I was so young and no one in my family had did it. And we were outside Stockholm in the archipelago, and it was an hour to the hospital, and it was in February, minus 20 degrees and so much snow. But she came when I started to have the contractions. It took a long time. It took 48 hours, I think. She stayed 1.5 days in our home. And he came out in his birth sack. It was the most difficult birth, but it was definitely, I'm so happy I had my wife who supported me in that stage.
Yeah.
Now when I had 5 children, it's completely different. But when I look back, I wouldn't have been doing it in another way. I mean, like being alone or being in a hospital, definitely not. But it was very, of course, the first time is nothing to compare with the others.
Yeah, the first time is usually longer and harder. You're opening the channel, you're learning how to birth. It's going through all the layers. So did you do any kind of preparation before you had your first birth? Did you do any kind of reading or learning about the process, or did you just dive on in?
I should have been reading more. That's my, afterwards I would tell anyone to like do research to understand and to talk to people who are aware, in this way. Aware, but I didn't do enough research at all. I was so unprepared. In a way, maybe it was good because I really like was in the moment, but I didn't understand the transitions. So I had no feeling of like, now I know that, okay, when it feels like this, it's gonna continue and then it's not so far.
The different stages of labor, like the early and the active,
yeah,
position and the birth. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that gave very much perspective for my second birth, because it was 5 years later when I got pregnant again. And my feeling at that time was that I was very scared. That was like my main feeling, that I was very scared. And I didn't understand, why am I so scared? Because everything went well. I didn't have any complications. The baby was healthy. I could nurse. But I was so scared. So I had the same midwife, and she gave me this book that is called Föda utan rädsla, Birth Without Fear. Yeah. And I read it, and it felt better after understanding that more people are afraid. But then I had a totally different mindset. I was a bit older, and we moved into town. So we had lived in a small apartment in Södermalm, and that was very close to the hospital. So I felt like if something happens this time, I could just go up in 5 minutes. So it was like this mind thing. And then, because I had so much contractions before the first birth, like for 10 days, I had, that's normal. I know now, but I thought it was like long. So this time when I started to have the contractions, I thought, oh, this is going to be so long. So the day he was born, I thought it was 10 days.
So he would be born, yeah. Because the first time you had prodromal labor, so you went with contractions on and off, I'm guessing, for days, not fully contracting.
No, not time, fully.
But just on and off. Yeah, that's
on and off. And first time it feels more painful too. I mean, for me, it felt like it was more dramatic to have them. Mm. So this time, the second time, I had the mindset of, I'm not feeling anything. Nothing hurts.
Mm-hmm. That you were approaching them like that, that you felt you were going to reframe it in your mind, or do you actually mean that you didn't feel them as painful the second time?
Both.
Mm. Well, the mindset is everything, isn't it? It's how we approach it. So I guess the first time around, you never know what you're going to feel, and you might feel fearful or anxious around them as well, or dreading the next one. But if you reframe it in
exactly
your mind, all of a
and
sudden,
that's what I did the
different.
First time
yeah
exactly that was the learning from the first time, that I was like, no, I don't want another surge. I was so like against, I didn't want to. I think it would have been quicker if I just gave in.
Absolutely. For sure. And that is I think you know, a lot of women will go through that. That's the internal battle that most first-time mamas will go through, and maybe first, you know, second, third births, whatever, depending on if they wake up to this knowledge that it is, that it's asking you to fully surrender to the power through you. And if you don't, if you resist it, well, you know, what you resist persists, you know, that is the universal truth, isn't it? And
exactly,
you know, then you go with it for longer until you finally, from either exhaustion or just, you just give up in a sense, and then finally can move through you. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. I mean, there are so many details that I can bring up related to this from the first, but it will be so long.
let's focus on, as you talk us through the story, so let's go into actually how you move through the labors a bit more detail. So if you want to share about the second birth, how did you have any early signs of labor approaching for you on that one?
Yeah, the second one, it started in the morning. I just had this feeling, you know. And then I went to do my day, like normally. Mm-hmm. I went to the chiropractor, I went to work, and I picked up my son at kindergarten, and I did yoga in the morning. On the way home with my son, we went to the grocery store, and I felt it was more and more like, this is probably a bit more than normal. So I know the people who owns that shop, and she has four or five children. And she went up to me. She was like, are you okay? Do you want me to call like a cab? And I was like, no, it's okay. We take the bus. So I took the bags and we went on the bus, and then my water broke
on the bus. That's dramatic.
Yeah, so my pants was like, it was really strange, and it was like very much so. But since we decided that I'm going to birth at home, we just went home. It was very quick. And then I called my mom and I said that, well, my water broke. So I think if you want to pick up Noah, maybe you can come and do that. And luckily, my stepdad was just there close to us because he was buying something. It was just a coincidence. So he picked up Noah and I called my husband, and he was totally shocked because this was like an hour of time. It was so quickly from when the water broke and I came home and I took a shower. So I was just standing in the shower all the time and took all the contractions. And then he just came into the apartment and I said, I'm gonna birth now. It's time. And he was like, no, this is not how it was last time. So it's not possible. And I was like, yeah, it's happening. So I just went on my force, and he came out like that. It was, I can't even remember because it was so quick.
Wow, that is the absolute opposite from your first.
The absolute opposite, and it was on the day after the date, the due date. Mm. So and the first one was like 10 or 12 days more. So, I mean, not that I even care about those days, but it's funny how I think, really, like you said, it was the mindset who did almost everything, because it was so undramatic, the entire thing. I just let it be part of the day instead of like...
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the first time around, you might think that prodromal labor or early labor is, you know, really, I mean, you're excited and you just approach it differently usually. Whereas with your second, you had this different mindset. So did you start contracting in the morning, you said, and then you went out and got some groceries? And so how many hours are we talking before your water's broken? Then within an 12. Hour or something you had? Okay, 12 hours, right?
I went up at 6 and he was out at 6. Okay. But I didn't be at home. I was at home 1 hour.
Right.
Then
after the water stuff, yeah.
So we were alone because my midwife didn't have the time to arrive. So it was the first time that it was only us two. So that was like an experience that she just told my husband that, okay, you check this on the phone. Mm. You can check this, you can check this. And everything was fine. And then we made some pasta and everything was normal.
This episode is sponsored by Needed, a beautiful woman-owned leading women's health supplement brand founded by two mamas who were shocked when they realized that 95% of women who actually take a prenatal vitamin have nutrient deficiencies. And it's shocking that this is the state of most of us in our current modern world. But our soils are depleted, and so our foods are not as nutrient dense, and who really eats all their greens every day? I've been extremely hesitant to recommend supplements because most of them are just expensive pee. The cheap one you buy at your chemist is most likely not bioavailable, meaning your body just can't absorb most of it, if any. I truly haven't found any other supplement brand that I would ever recommend to any of my clients, friends, or use myself than Needed. I myself use their multivitamins both in capsule form and in powder form, depending on what I feel like that day. I also use their pre and probiotics and collagen powder. I know it's clean, high quality, and beyond organic, and I can feel how my body absorbs it. With Needed, you get real nourishment for every phase of your life. Whether you're thinking, trying, are pregnant, or in your postpartum, or deeper into your mama years. With the code The Natural Birth Podcast, you can save 20% off your first order. Go to thisisneeded.com via the link in the show notes to get the automatic discount on their website.
Beautiful. Okay. All right. So it was 12 hours from like the first contraction, and then you had some sporadic contractions throughout the day that you were like managing, walking around, doing your shopping, everything. And then you came back home after your water stopped, and within an hour.
Yeah. I think the one that I had, that was really like when the woman in the shop asked me, because I was like standing like this, that was maybe 2 hours before he was out. So that was an hour before coming home. So it was amazing. But I think I don't feel, since I have had three others, it's not the speed that is important either, because you're losing a bit of the experience when it goes so quickly. I mean, now I can see that it was more like showing me how easy it was that I got this, to know that you can never know. Because the third time, it was longer, it was more difficult. And I think this is what I think about giving birth, that is that it reflects how you feel. Mm. I mean, it reflects your life, how you give birth. So since we moved from Sweden to France, we had a challenging time in between. I was more tired for the third baby. It was not as quick as that. It was much more like this fear-based thing. So I think it really depends on the state you are when you give birth, the surrounding and your life, how your life is. It's uncontrollable. Mm. You understand what I mean?
Mm.
Because everything comes up when you give birth. You can't hide anything. That's really my like knowledge about giving birth, that you can't pretend for yourself how you feel, because it's going to be in the state you are.
Yeah, it's said that you give birth the way you live, for sure. And so it's really important to think about how you live, how you feel, how you handle, you know, situations in life normally. Like, do you have a victim mentality or a victor mentality? How do you handle pain? How do you handle uncertainty, the mystery? Can you be in the unknown? All of these things, because it'll be what you experience then during labor and how you handle the mystery, the unknown, the pain of labor and birth.
Yeah.
So let's move into, you moved to France. So how many years after were you pregnant with your third?
It's 3 years in between them.
Hmm.
So it's closer than the time before. I was 4 months pregnant when we moved.
Oh,
and it wasn't my husband said that it was planned from his side, because his friend got a child. And I wasn't very interested in that time to have more children. But he always said that Isaac, who is the third, he was the most planned.
From your husband's side. Planned from his side, but not from your side.
No, I was just happy that I was pregnant, but he really wanted a third.
Mm.
Otherwise, we wouldn't planned it at the same time as we moved. We would have done it after. But it fell like this, and I gave birth 5 months after we moved. So that is pretty close. I mean, even if I lived in France before, it was totally different. I knew that I was going to birth at home, but I didn't know how it worked in France. And I wanted to find a midwife anyway, because I felt it was a support to have someone to call, or just a contact person, even though I was with my husband alone the second time. But that wasn't a concept for me.
That just happened. Yeah.
That just happened. And she also helped afterwards. Like, she came after and she did the paperwork. And yeah, I never thought that we could just continue to be only us two. So I had a Swedish midwife that I had contacted from the beginning another Swedish midwife, not the one we had the first and second time. I don't know really why I wanted to change, but I felt like this is a new period of my life. So I want to have someone else who has other input and has more experience. She said, since because we had a child who was very sensitive for infection. So she said, like, if you don't want to come to see me, we could just, you're not obliged to come. Because I felt so reluctant to come and do these visits. And everyone was sick at that time. It was in the winter. So I was like, okay, is this okay? Am I allowed not to do the visits? Yeah, you are. It's your choice. And only that surprised me so much because I didn't really like to do the visits. Because the second time I did only like four. I didn't go very often. I didn't do any ultrasound because I just felt like I don't need it. I don't want it. I don't need it. And I didn't think about why really. And so I didn't go. And she just called me like every fourth week. And we talked about how I felt. And yeah. And then we moved. And then I continued to have this contact with her. And she said that she could come for the birth if I like wanted to.
So
I was, I was prepared on that. But then I realized that in the end, it will be pretty stressful to make her come if I don't give birth. Mm. So I wanted to find a French midwife who did home birth. And I found one that was quite close, but she didn't want to travel so far. So she asked me to go closer to her. To prepare, like when you feel that it's going to be the time, because I didn't do an ultrasound, so I didn't know exactly the weeks. I knew approximately, but I didn't know that was like 4 weeks over time.
So you think you were 44 weeks pregnant when you went into labor?
I think so. Afterwards, I think I was giving birth in week 44. The funny thing is that all my children have the same length and the same weight. Mm. Even though, yeah. So I don't know if I really trust the measurements and the weeks. And afterwards, I think it's they come when they come. But I don't know. So I didn't want to travel to this midwife and like live in an Airbnb for weeks to wait for my birth. So we said that, okay, let's have contact with both midwives, like just for help. And then we give birth alone in this like rural place, 1 hour from the hospital. And then my fear started to come back from the first birth that I'm going to be so far away from help and everything is up to me. And Frederick, but it's up to me. And this was like with the weeks that also went more and more, it made me anxious. Mm. And I could see that afterwards what happened. Mm. So when I finally was going to give birth, it was in the middle of the night, like the first time, not during the day, like the second time that is easier. I was already tired, like after when the day started. So it took not as long as 48 hours as the first time, but I don't know, maybe 36. It was 1.5 day. And it wasn't very, very difficult. It was just my resistance that made it harder. Mm. And finally, in the end, because Fredrik never checked, like, is the head close? We didn't have that routine because we had never done that. And he said, do you think I should check just to see if it's time? Well, it is. It's time. I mean, I can see his head. I feel his head. So, or her head, because we didn't know. So you can just push. And I was like, are you sure? Well, I'm pretty sure because you're having very painful contractions. And yeah, just go for it. But I didn't dare to do it. I was like, what if something happens now? I was like so, what do you say, confused about the situation. So I asked him to call an ambulance because I felt like maybe this is far away, so I will probably need help because I'm tired. And they came, and in the moment they went into the door, I was like, I'm going to the bathroom. And then I birthed, because they gave me that, okay, I have to do this now because I don't want to be with them. I just want to have my baby. So it was really like, this is something I would not recommend to do just because you're scared to call an ambulance, because sometimes afterwards I heard that they won't let you stay at home, or they will get worried, or because they, I mean, it's their responsibility when you call for help.
Yeah, and we also have to remember also that ambulance personnel are not trained in birth. You know, they're when they come, they have this plan to take you to hospital. Like, that's their job. That's why you call an ambulance to your home, right? Not to assist with home birth.
Exactly.
They can't do.
Yeah, but I was lucky. They were very kind and very, very laid back. So afterwards, I was so grateful. Also now, when I heard stories about people calling the ambulance and they have to come, or they threaten them that if they don't come, they will maybe take the baby, you know, weird stories. But I had no idea. I just thought that this is probably the best thing for me right now. And Freddie called the ambulance and they came, and I went into the bathroom and he was born in 1 second. They just stayed and they looked at everything. And that was a bit taken away. I mean, you know, the moment when you're just with your baby and you start to nurse, and it felt so odd to have people around, and they wanted to cut the cord, and, you know, and they wanted to give me a shot, not so that I would bleed to death. Mm. Yeah. But I just had to sign a contract and they left.
Yeah, you had to sign something to say that it was, that you didn't want to move with them, probably to the hospital. So it sounds like for this birth, you held that baby in until you, even though, you know, you didn't want the ambulance people there, somehow it made you feel safe so that you could just birth your baby. A subconscious part of you, it sounds like, wanted them there for safety somehow. And then when they were there, you're like, okay, now I can birth.
And it is stupid. I mean, afterwards, I think it was like that.
Yeah, so. It wasn't stupid. I mean, you know, if we look at your first birth and, you know, seemingly it went so smooth, was because you felt so safe. In your mind, you knew you had the hospital 5 minutes away. It does do something to your subconscious. You knew you had your midwife, you know, you could call her at any time. This time, as you just said, you felt it was all on you.
Yeah.
And you felt scared and you felt anxious.
Yeah.
And that prolongs labor. It makes you also go over time if you feel stressed and anxious. You weren't maybe fully settled. You were in a new country. You didn't really know.
I mean, exactly.
It makes sense. It makes sense that maybe you went overdoing quotation marks, you know. It makes sense that maybe it was a harder labor for you. And it makes sense that the subconscious part of you wanted to call the ambulance. I've had women who, from their minds, maybe wanted to have a birth center birth or a home birth, but at the end, they wanted to transfer, and they then gave birth in the ambulance or just as they came to the hospital, because some part of them weren't feeling safe in the birth center or at home. You know, their minds maybe wanted that experience, but their bodies weren't feeling safe, or their subconscious mind, you know.
Are you planning on becoming pregnant this year? Maybe you've already been trying for a while, or you're in the planning stages, then the Conscious Conception Program might be for you. The Conscious Conception Program is for you who want to truly optimize your health and the future health of your baby, and prepare body, mind, heart, and soul to become the best mother you can be for your spirit baby. The program will be given over 12 weeks with bite-sized video lessons teaching you years of fertility and conception knowledge in an easily digestible way without the overwhelm. Each week, you'll be introduced to a new easy practice or lifestyle change that you, together with a conscious conception sisterhood, can implement and finally make into your normal daily routine without the struggle of trying to do all the good things all at once and all by yourself. Each week, you'll meet with me and the same group of women that will be doing these lifestyle changes and conscious conception preparations together. For 12 weeks, you'll get my undivided attention and expert advice at our live calls as you're introduced to new information and practices to take you closer to conceiving your spirit baby. There's lots that can be done on a physical level in optimizing egg quality and creating a fertile womb soil. But being as this is a conscious conception program, we go so much deeper than that. We dive into the mind, heart, and soul part too. With spiritual practices for fertility and conception, connection with your spirit baby, becoming the mother you want to be for your future child, meditation practices, womb awakening practices, mindfulness practices, and feminine embodiment practices, to name a few. If this program has sparked your curiosity, then head on over to sacredbirthinternational.com or click on the link in the bio to find out more. For this first round, starting on the 2nd of April, I'm offering this program at a heavy discount, only for this first round. So if you're planning to become pregnant this year and really want to optimize your chances, as well as prepare to be the mother you wish to be for your spirit baby, then this is your invitation.
And it sounds like this was maybe your, you know, experience.
Yeah, I know. And also the thing with my other son who was sensitive, it was a little bit of a compromise because I thought it was safer for him. And I wasn't really settled in anything, you know.
Yeah.
So, but that made me like, this is funny because that made me do the opposite thing again with the fourth one. So I was with Jonathan, I was planning so hard to make it be at daytime and relaxed. And I had the same house to birth in. We bought a birth pool that I didn't use. I had a tub and that was enough. And with him, I don't really remember how long it was. I think it was the same hours that for... I mean, that for the third one, but it felt totally different.
So with your fourth baby, how they weren't very far apart, were they?
No, I got pregnant before I had my first period. They are a little bit than 1 year in between.
Right. So with your fourth then, this one, you decided not to have a midwife as well. You decided to have a free birth for this one, an unassisted birth.
For the fourth, we were determined, or I was determined, that I wasn't going to bring anyone at home because it felt like, why should I bring someone? I definitely don't want contact with any hospital. Not that I had like this bad experience from the ambulance. It was out of the question. And I didn't want to bring someone in a complicated way to come home to us because we lived so remote. And I knew that, okay, if I need to go, I need to go. I mean, but this never happened. It's just a mind thing. Mm-hmm. So I was working with that to really believe in that it's going to be fine this time too. And I felt good all the way through the pregnancy. And the thing is that I didn't do any checks. Afterwards, I can see that it's really extreme that I don't go to maternity care or that I don't do any ultrasound. and don't check the, what is it called when you have the placenta blocking?
You mean that you didn't check the ultrasound to check if you had a, like a placenta previa or?
Yeah, yeah. But that is supposed to be checked very late, I understand now. No? Yeah, but just yeah. Before you give birth.
I mean, so, you know, all the things, ultrasounds and maternity care and everything is optional. So yes, it's extreme in our modern world, obviously, because most women will do some kind of, you know, maybe one ultrasound or go to a midwife, but some like you choose not to. So when you do the ultrasound in around 20 weeks, which is one of the normal kind of ultrasounds to do, then they might see that the placenta is low lying or covering the opening of the cervix. And then they would check again around 36 weeks to see has it moved. And most of the time it's moved away. Most of the time placenta's moved. But of course, yeah, in the rare case that it is covering, that is obviously one of the things that can be life-threatening for you and the baby.
I was reading about that and understanding what should be done if it happens. And I mean, I was totally aware that there are risks, but for me, it was more not the conviction. It was more feeling that if I feel that this is going to be fine, it probably will be fine. And if I don't feel that, I will fix that. So with Jonathan, I just stayed in the bath for an entire day. I just poured in more hot water. And I never did that before. I used the tub quickly with the first birth, but it didn't feel comfortable. But with Jonathan, I just stayed. And I mean, we had three other children, so they were playing and my husband went in and out and the day passed. And then he was born in the afternoon. And it was, I mean, I had this contact still with the midwife from Sweden. So we took contact again for this birth. And my husband called her when he was born just to like check. And it was really helpful too, because there are always some questions that you may have. And she said that it sounds like everything is normal. And yeah, so that was the most easy one, I think. Afterwards, I think it was the most perfect and easy birth that I had, because it wasn't too quick. It wasn't brutal. It was just like a mundane thing that happened. It hurted a lot in the end, but it wasn't dramatic at all.
So do you want to share with us a little bit about that day? So did you start having contractions in the evening and then because you said it was about 1.5 day again, or was it just the full day?
I wake up with contractions, I remember. And then I think it was, a full day. It wasn't 1.5. But I don't really remember what I did except being in the tub. I had prepared with coconut water and things like that, but I could have been listening to a podcast. I was so relaxed. And that was really strange in the moment too, because it was so dramatic the time before. It's unbelievable how you can just change your perspective of something that you already did several times.
Yeah. So you were in the bath with you and your family all day, and steadily the contractions would increase, and in the end you birthed your baby still in the pool?
No, it wasn't in the pool. It was in the bathtub. So we never used the pool because we didn't have time. I said that I would stay in this tub and then we can fix the pool. But in the end, I wanted to stay in the tub the whole day. He's born in April, so it wasn't so hot. In the Pyrenees, it can be very hot, like in July, August, but it was like perfect temperature, not too cold and not too hot. But I had these pads that I put on my forehead that relaxed my mind and like my body. They were cold and the water was hot. And I just lay there, like took the contractions, and then I think I told my husband that I think it's time, like I'm going to go up now and we can fix the pool. But then it started to become very like intense. So he was just holding me and I was like hanging on him. And I remember we went outside and I said, I can't do this anymore. This is like, this is too much. And he was like, okay, but then we know it's time. Because he's like that. And that has really helped me so much every time that he's been so cool. He's been the best support. And I think that has helped me a lot. And I would never, ever think about like being totally alone, because his support has been at least 30%. So I don't think any of my births has been like, it's so obvious that I'm going to give birth now. It has always been this hesitant feeling. So I'm thinking that if we would have another child, I would be more like really trying to figure out, is this the time when I know? Because every time I have really been, when I know that the baby's coming out, they come out very quickly. And I never gave it like this time to what I understand that you can give it more time. You can breathe it through. You don't have to push. And I think it's kind of part of my personality, but also a bit of fear that you want it to come to the end and that you want to remove the pain, of course. But I think there is a possibility that I could give it some more time in the end and not trying to reach that goal so quickly.
We dive into the last birth then.
Yeah, that was one of a kind. I'm really happy I still had the contact with the same midwife that is in Sweden, because there was COVID and my husband worked in Spain. So he was away and they locked down, so he couldn't come home.
Oh my God.
And I didn't panic, because I thought, okay, I will be alone with three children, because he had the biggest with him. And I will probably birth in some way. I don't know, because I'm not going to the hospital. And I knew stories about the hospital where we were, and they were really negative. And also with COVID, it was so strange, because you couldn't do anything. You couldn't bring anyone. I didn't want to have the vaccination. Everything was so strange. But we were lucky, because the employer of my husband paid a private plane.
Okay. Wow.
So he arrived in a private jet. I don't know how many times I laughed about this. Because we're not the people who does this. But it's like a gift from heaven. Like, it was so, so generous of him. Yeah. And he didn't ask anything back. He didn't even show us the invoice. Mm. So he came home and we waited another 10 days, because he was also a bit late, like 3 weeks, I think, totally. About a week before he was born, I had this, what do you say, false contractions.
Yeah, prodromal labor.
And that was horrible. I never had that, ever. And it was like a long contraction that lasted for hours. It didn't stop.
You mean you had like one long contraction that wouldn't let go, like a tensing of your tummy that was just constant. Oh, for hours.
For hours. And afterwards, I think when I did research, that it was because I was dehydrated, because it was in July and it was 42 degrees. Mm. So I think that was the main reason, because I also had this, it started a couple of weeks before he was born, that I had diarrhea. So everything, I was drained on electrolytes. And I tried to catch up, but it didn't really work, I think. So that situation made me panic. I mean, like, what should I do? I can't give birth like this. I will be too exhausted, because I understood that this is not opening. This is a weird thing. I had the reference of how it should feel. And then I just got this feeling of I have to take a long hot shower. And I stood there for maybe 2 hours. And then I went to bed to sleep. And when I woke up, it was gone. And afterwards, I spoke to my Swedish midwife, and she said that you should take a hot shower if you have that. It's what you should do. Mm. And that like gave me goosebumps, because I didn't know at all what it was, why I did it. Mm. And I'm so happy I just went through it, because I'm sure that if I would have went to the hospital, they would have just given me the oxytocin to give birth, and he would have been a week too early. Because he came a week after, naturally.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it depends. That kind of long contraction that doesn't let go, most likely you would have gotten something to stop that. Because that's, if you have a long contraction and you don't, and it doesn't ease up, and your contractions come and go to, so that you have time, so the placenta has time to be perfused with blood, to bring blood flow to the baby, right? So if you have one long contraction that doesn't stop, there would be a fear there that maybe your baby would be compromised. Obviously, you know, your baby wasn't, but more so that would happen, I think, if you had gone to the hospital, potentially, if it was a strong contraction that wouldn't let go.
I mean, if it wasn't for COVID, I think I would have thought differently, because I would have been more relaxed about going to a hospital.
Yeah.
But this situation just turned everything upside down. And I was really like pushing it to stay home, and I did. And then it started normally, like in the morning I had contractions, and
the morning after that, or do you mean after a week?
After a week.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, like the procedure that happens started normally after a week.
The labor and then process, yeah.
We had a birth pool that we actually filled it up with water this time. But I didn't feel comfortable about staying in it. It didn't really soothe the contractions. It made me feel like locked in. Mm. So I went to the sofa, and then I just felt like this. That is when he came out, like very quickly. So I was in the pool. I went up, and then he was out. And
so if we wind back again, Sophia.
Yeah.
Because that sounds like in a few minutes you gave birth. So let's wind back and go. How did it start? Let's go through the motions and come to the end. So you woke up in the morning, you had contractions.
Yeah.
What happened then?
I went to the beach. Okay. I had a long walk and I had the contractions. I spent the day with my family. We did the normal things, like having lunch, and I had the contractions all the time, but it wasn't very harsh. And then we went to bed in the evening, and I couldn't fall asleep. And I said, we have to go up, because I think it's getting more intense. And he was born at 4. So I think it was 6 hours later that he was born than from going to bed.
Okay. So you went from bed, you blew up the pool, or your husband did.
Yeah, he did. And he filled it up, and it was so hot. That is the clearest memory, that we just had a fan and we were sweating so much. But it was really like amazing experience also in Corsica, where with the stars and not so much street light. And it was really a magical experience. Also in the Pyrenees was also like, every birth has been magical in different ways, but this was so close to the sea, and you had the moon, and I mean, it was like magical. Just before he was coming out, my husband called the children to come up, so they saw him coming out.
Was that the first time they saw their sibling be born?
No, it was the second. They saw the fourth too, because he was born in the day. So they're quite used to that. I mean, especially the older ones, but they were just, yeah, so happy. Everyone was so happy, of course.
So you dipped your toe in the bath. It wasn't the right thing for you. You got out from the bath and then you spent a few hours on the couch. Was that how you birthed your baby?
I think it wasn't more than 30 minutes.
Okay, so you did spend some time in the bath before that.
Yeah, and before the bath, I spent some time like everywhere, like in the bed, in the shower, outside. I think this time I would like to move around more than the fourth time when I just stayed in the tub, because we didn't have a normal tub. We had this pool and the pool felt more, I don't know, I didn't feel comfortable in the birth pool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it went really, I mean, it's interesting as you said, because I always thought about this birth as I really forced him out. But when you told me now that this is a reflex, I can see that it was the reflex, because it's the actual feeling that you need to poop. Mm-hmm. Nothing else than that. And well, I did that too.
Yeah, women usually do. Now, yeah. We haven't spoken at all to what you actually have done with the placentas. Have you done something special with your baby's placenta?
Yeah. Afterwards, after I had five children, I understand that it's not obvious that the placenta always comes out quickly and that everything works well. But for me, it has always been uncomplicated. It has not been a thing at all. They just come out like within 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the first, I think we gave it to, we was in a scientific study. So we gave it away, and I would never have done that because we lived in the country and I would have planted it under a tree or something. But we gave it away. It was for Vidarkliniken.
Oh, for an anthroposophical study.
Yeah. The second, Diane took it too, because we were in town, or I did freeze it. I don't remember. Maybe I freezed it. Yeah, I think we freezed it, but I never did anything with it. I think since I wasn't very aware of this, I was just doing my thing, giving birth. I wasn't thinking about all these things around. So I, you know, with all this experience, I can look back and think, why did I do that? But I didn't do anything with that placenta. But the third placenta we planted in the garden, and the fourth too, and the fifth too. So that's what we have been doing. And they have all been intact and healthy. Yeah.
So you have three placentas that have been buried on French soil.
Exactly. Yeah.
Beautiful. So yeah. If you had a first-time mama in front of you right now who's about to have her first baby and she really wants to have a natural and empowering birth experience, what advice and pearls of wisdom would you give to her?
To use her intuition, not to think the way forward, just to follow her intuition and not to have an idea. But of course, I mean, have a feeling of what she wants to do. I would definitely not recommend any way of doing, because I think it's so up to her. I don't think there is something wrong with anything of what you choose if it's right for you. So I really think it's about feeling inwards. I mean, if you want to be in a hospital, in a clinic, at home, alone, I don't think one way is right.
Thank you so much, Sophia, for coming on the podcast. It's been a pleasure having you share your story.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. If you love this podcast, then please consider sharing it. Leave a review or make a contribution on our Patreon page. And if you want to connect on social media, then find the podcast on Instagram as The Natural Birth Podcast. Thank you for listening.